I'd like for everybody to stand with me, if you would. We'll read from the Word of the Lord. I thank you for the invitation to come, and we always enjoy coming. This church holds a lot of memories to me. And this is where it all started. And I hope this isn't where it all ends. The Lord has been good to us, and we do appreciate all the many blessings. We appreciate your fine pastor and what a wonderful man of God he is, and not only that, but a personal friend, and that means a lot. Not long ago, some of you do not know, but not long ago, we were in a predicament where we needed some help. We were moving, and I couldn't find anybody to help me move. And I've just had my wife and sister Mary, and you know little old sister Mary's not this big around. And her and I was moving that washing machine and that dryer. And all it took was just a phone call to your pastor. And it was about 11 or 12 o'clock. But when I got over, told that a friend in need is a friend indeed. And I do count him as my friend, praise the Lord. I'm reading from Mark, the 9th chapter tonight. And I'll begin reading from the 23rd verse. Now, before I get started, I just want to tell y'all something. The wise man said, there is no new thing under the sun. And I don't have any new thing to say to y'all tonight. I don't. I'll just tell you right now. I don't have a new thing to say. What I'll say, when it's all over and said and done, you've heard somebody say it before. Maybe even heard me say it before. I don't know. But I want you to know this. The Apostle Peter, in one of his writings, said, I want to stir up your pure mind by the way of remembrance. Now, I don't know about y'all. I don't have any trouble with my forgetter, but it's my remember that's bothering me.
Yeah, getting old.
And you don't have to be getting old to have that problem. So what I want to say to you tonight is just something that would stir up your pure mind and help you to remember. In Mark the 9th chapter and the 23rd verse, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Brother Rutledge, will you come and ask the Lord's blessing on the remainder of this sermon?
Praise God, Father of Heaven. Oh God, we thank you, Lord, for this assembly.
Yes, Jesus.
For this people with open hearts, inclined ears. Thank you, Lord, for Brother Cagle, his family. And now we pray the blessing of God rest upon him.
Yes, Jesus.
As he blesses us with the word of God. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Not long ago, when I was working for the Lord up in Ohio, I was talking with an individual, and they told me, Brother Cagle, I don't have any faith. And I said, well, if you don't, then my Bible reads wrong. I'm going to have to tear that page out and throw it away.
That's all right.
And they said, what do you mean? I said, well, my Bible says in Romans, the 12th chapter, along about the 3rd verse, that God has given to every man a measure of faith.
That's good.
And I said, now, what you might have done with that makes a difference of whether you've got any faith to be able to believe the Lord or not. Now, I'm of the same opinion with the Holy Ghost. I don't believe that the Lord gives some folks a thimble full and other folks a tub full. I believe that everybody gets the same amount. I'm talking about that first time. But what makes the difference from some Christians to other Christians are what you did with it after you got it.
That's right.
And then some folks say, well, if I get sick, I want Brother So-and-so to pray for me because he's got such great faith. Well, do you know why he has such great faith? It's because there's been something in his life, no doubt, where he had to exercise that faith.
That's it.
Everybody say exercise.
Exercise.
How many of you know what it is?
Yeah, right about it. Yeah.
I ain't going to say it.
All right.
But I'll tell you, not long ago I was up north, and they had their walk-a-thon up there, and some of those people thought it would be real fun to see me walk, and so they sponsored me, and I was worth about $109, and I had to walk. I felt like I'd really be cheating them, and I didn't have that much pocket money just to pay it and forget it, so I decided I'd better walk. And so I got out there and walked that 20 kilometers for Christ, and it's a good thing it was for Christ, because I sure wouldn't have done it for anybody else. And I got out there and walked in, and I'll tell you what, that was on a Saturday, and I had to preach that next Sunday, and when I got up, my head said, go legs, but my legs wouldn't go. Because riding in a car, and you know, just a lot of the things, it's not that we don't get exercise, but it's just certain muscles that didn't get the right exercise. And that's the way it is, you see. How many of y'all ever broke a leg or an arm before?
Oh, we got a gang.
How about you, sir?
Well, I broke a leg one time right at my kneecap. And they put a cast on there, and I wore it for about six or eight weeks. And I went to the doctor, and he took a saw and buzzed it off and said, all right. And I got that leg, and I swung it off that table, and I just took one cast.
Hey, sir. Yeah.
But that other leg wouldn't go. And I looked all around, seeing if I was watching me, and I reached that hand up, and I lifted that leg. And the doctor said, oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you. You're going to have to learn to use that all over again.
Oh.
And I said, well, I've been walking on it for about 18 years. I said, what in the world, what's going on? And he said, well, you see, it hasn't been used.
Oh, I get the point.
It hasn't been exercised. It hasn't been put into the proper use. It's just laid there dormant. You've wrapped it up in that cast, and that's the way it had of healing itself. So now we're going to have to send you through therapy and through physical therapy to get that all limbered back up again and learn how to use it again. And I got to thinking about that, and the more I thought about it, the more I thought that must be what's wrong with a whole lot of people's faith. Now, I'm not talking about anybody here in particular, but I'll just tell you, my mother used to give us medicine before we got sick. How many of y'all are taking that kind of medicine? It was called preventative medicine.
Right.
And that's the worst tasting.
That's right.
Because you ain't even sick. Now, you know, you'll take it when you're sick because you figure you need it. But when you're feeling great and somebody comes along and pours that stuff down you, it's hard to understand. But now, I hope y'all don't feel that way about what I'm saying. No. But maybe this will keep you from getting sick.
Uh-huh.
There are those individuals, I've met them, you've met them, I know them, you know them, that when they come to the Lord, everybody that comes to the Lord has to have faith, because in Hebrews it says, without faith it is impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe, that's faith, must believe that he is, and a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so when we first came to the Lord, we had to believe that he was, that he is. And so then what we did with that faith after that point makes the difference in whether or not we possess the power to have those petitions and prayers that we prayed answered tonight.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So we take that faith, we put it in a little box, and we set it up on a shelf someplace, and we say, oh, looky there. We set it up on the mantle, and we say, in that night, that's my bright, shiny faith there. And oh, if I ever have a trouble, or if I ever have a trial, or if I ever have a problem, or if I ever have a need, or if I ever walk through a valley, I've got that sitting up there on the mantle. You had your company come to visit you, and you say, come on over here and see my faith. See it sitting up there on the mantle. Oh, it's wonderful. It's beautiful. Why, that's a, and you know something? Why, whenever I get into trouble, I just go over there and get it. And whenever I have a problem, I just go over there and get it. So then one day, up comes a trouble of some kind. And there goes a trial. And down through the valley you go. And oh, you run over there and you grab your faith and you get it all out and you try to make it work.
Oh, the exercise.
But it doesn't work.
You're
trying to get it to go. But it won't go.
Uh-huh.
Come on, faith. Come on. Here's the valley. Here's the test. Here's the trouble. Here's the trial. Oh, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on.
Oh, help us, Lord.
But you know what? That 20 kilometers was a hard way to exercise. Oh, my legs feel great tonight. But it was a hard way to get them limbered up. All 20 at one whack. It'd have been a whole lot better if old Dumbo would have got out there and walked about a couple miles every day for a couple weeks.
Uh-huh.
Limbered him up a little bit.
Yeah.
So then when that march came, he could have just marched right on into Zion. But you see, that wasn't the way it went.
Uh-huh.
You understand what I'm talking about? And so we find in the scripture text that we read tonight, an individual that brought his boy to the Lord, and he had a spirit that made him fall out, made him gnash with his teeth, made him pull his hair out. It would, those seizures would come on him, and they carried him to the disciples, and the disciples couldn't do anything for him. And he brought him to the Lord, and the Lord told him this, and it was found in the text that we read tonight, in the 23rd verse. If thou canst believe, if thou canst believe,
all things
are possible.
Are possible.
To him that believes.
Amen.
A-double-L, all things.
Right. Bless God.
Well, how many of you all know who Paltai in the Bible was?
Who?
Paltai.
Tell us. I don't remember. Is that the new or the old?
That's in the old Bible.
Paltai.
How many know who his friend Shaphat was?
Yeah, I think I heard him.
How about, no, this is the same Bible now. How about Agal?
I don't know about,
are they getting more familiar? All right. How many of y'all know who Caleb was? All right. And how many of y'all know who Joshua was? All right. Now, I want to tell you the reason you don't know who them other fellas was. Because you don't know what kind of heart they had, what kind of unbelief they had, and their story doesn't ring a bell in your mind because of their negative attitude. They were 3 of the 10 that came back to Moses with an evil report.
Now,
remember? That's good. That's good.
They came back to Moses and said, we cannot take the city. There's giants in the land, and there's high wall cities, and they're too much for us. and they've got big artillery and weapons, and we're just like ants over there, and we cannot do it. And while those three fellas, along with seven others, was a mumbling and a grumbling and saying, we can't, we'll never make it, we'll never do it, there's no need trying, and there's no need going out there, in walked two boys by the name of Caleb and Joshua, and they said, we can do it. They said, we are able to go up and take the country to possess the land from Jordan to the sea. Though the giants may be there our way to hinder, God will surely give us victory.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's good.
Now, it's strange y'all would know who they were, and you didn't know who them other fellas were.
Yeah.
But you see, the scripture in Hebrew said they entered not in. Why? Because of unbelief. You don't remember their names. Why? Because of unbelief. They're not great giants in the Bible. Why? Because of their unbelief.
Why?
Their name does not stick out foremost and uppermost in your mind. Why? Because of their unbelief.
That's right. My Lord.
And so, Caleb and Joshua looked beyond the giants, looked beyond the high fortress cities, and said, we can do it. We'll go in the name of the Lord, and we'll possess the land. Oh, hallelujah.
Praise.
So there we find this man that came to Jesus and said, Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And he said, Lord, I believe. But with the very same breath, he said this. Now, this is the way I'm going to preach to Paul Cagle now for a little bit.
Put it on.
This is the way it goes with me sometimes. Help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. A part of me is wanting to believe. And while I'm down there praying, there's another part of me saying, you're just wasting your time. You're never going to see that old hard head saved. You're just wasting your time. You're never going to get healed. You're just wasting your time. You're never going to see blessings. You're never going to see revival. It's going to continue on just like it always has. You're just wasting your time down here. But you see, that is not the language of faith.
Amen.
And too many of us, myself included, have acquired some words in our vocabulary, spiritually speaking, that I don't believe the Lord wants us to have, and one of them is doubt, and the other one is unbelief. I don't feel like that has any place in the vocabulary of a Holy Ghost-filled Christian. I just don't see how you can. And I've been trying, with the help of the Lord, to somehow remedy that in my own life, because I know that if I trust Him and if I believe Him when the going's rough and the going's tough, and I'm preaching to myself tonight, and all the rest of y'all can listen, and if it can help you, let it help you. But I want you to know sometimes it's easy for you to say, I believe God and I'm trusting the Lord when the pantry's full. But can you trust Him when the cupboards are bare? It's easy to say, I believe God and I'm trusting the Lord when I've got a good job. But then can I trust Him when I don't have any money in my billfold or checking account? It's easy to trust God and say, I believe God when I'm feeling good and I've got an A1 bill of health. But can I trust Him and can I believe Him when pain and sickness lack my body? Oh, friend, tonight, that's what I'm talking about. Let's believe Him. All things are possible to Him that believes.
That's right.
Well, we all shout about Acts. That's where we like to preach. That's where we like to shout. That's where we feel the best. That's where we feel the most comfortable. That's where all action is.
Right.
And I believe it from Genesis to Revelation.
Right.
I've heard my grandpa say that before, and I couldn't understand what he meant when he said he believed Acts 2:38 from Genesis to Revelation. And now that I have got it and experienced it and preaching it myself, I know just what it means. Because if you really believe it and it's really been revealed to you, you can preach Acts 2:38 out of all the books of the Bible. If you'll get in there and dig, you can find that salvation message running down through every one of them.
Amen.
So if we're going to shout about Acts 2, turn with me back about 10 more, and let's see how much shouting we can do about Acts 12. Same book, same folks.
Oh, watch out.
That's right. The Scripture says that now about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter. And then were the days of unleavened bread, and when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to 4 squadrons of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. But prayer, here's the key, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him.
Amen.
Somewhere,
sometime,
and someplace, there was a group of individuals who had gotten the word, and maybe they had some kind of a committee, had a runner. Now we've got a telephone committee, and I doubt that they had that then. But they might have had some kind of a runner that went to all the different houses and said, "Hey, they have arrested our pastor. They've thrown him into jail, and we're having a prayer meeting over at John Mark's mama's house." If you read it, that's just what it says. "We're having a prayer meeting over at John Mark's mama's house, and we're going to pray that God will deliver our pastor."
Oh, glory.
Now, that's not in there, but that's Kegel's revised version.
That's the truth, though.
Because the Scripture says prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him.
That's right.
And the very night, and this is the way the Lord works, not a day too early and not a day too late, and sometimes you think he is, but he isn't.
That's right.
Right. The night before Herod was going to come and get Peter the next morning, somebody had prayed a prayer that had gotten through to the Lord and had believed God and had believed that God was going to deliver him and that God was going to get him out, and kept an angel on the shoulder, or the way I see it, and told him, "You go down there into Jerusalem, into the prison, past all the guards, into the cell,
Lord,
and get that apostolic preacher out of there."
Lord.
So here goes that angel. He gets down there, and old Peter's just a snoring away.
Yeah.
And he reaches over and taps him on the shoulder, and he says, "Peter, arise, stand up, put your shoes on, gird your coat around you."
Yeah.
In other words, "You're getting out of here, boy." The Scripture says Peter stood up.
Yeah.
Read it. I'm not telling a fairy tale. Now, if I was up here telling you about the big bad wolf and the 3 little pigs or something, well, y'all would have a chance to doubt me. But this is in the Word. You believe Acts 2:38, you've got to believe this.
Right. Uh-huh.
Peter stood up, and his chains fell off of
him.
He's all chained up, folks. There's nothing more dangerous than an apostolic preacher. They had him chained up good. You see, him and John had gotten out another time. That wasn't the first time they had been in trouble, you see. They'd been up there to the jail before. They was familiar with the surroundings, and they knew the jailers. And the Scripture says, smote him on the side. We already said that. Rise up, and his chains fell off. We already said that. Gird and bind your sandals, already said that. And he went out and followed him, and wished not that it was true, that it was done, but thought he was having a vision.
Yeah.
In other words, I'm going to have to pinch myself to see if I'm dreaming.
Yeah.
And the Scripture says But he walked right out of all of those cells. Now, I've got a vivid imagination, and this is just right. I can just see this in my mind. I can just see him walking past all them guards just sleeping and all stretched out there, and I can see him and that angel, and they're just walking.
Praise God, yeah. Yeah, go on.
You better believe it.
Hallelujah.
You would too if you'd been getting out.
Yeah.
Amen. And the scripture says, not Paul Tinkle, but the scripture says, not the fairy tale book that's got all the bedtime stories, but the scripture says, not Mother Goose, but the scripture says, in verse number 10, and I'll read it so you don't think I made it up. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth to the city, which opened to them of his own accord.
Oh, praise the Lord. Yes.
In other words, when... And I told you I had a big imagination. But if the rocks are going to cry out if we don't praise him, then I reckon the iron can get in on that too. And I don't know if iron can think or not, and you don't either, but I would speculate to say that probably if it could, that iron said, I knew when they brought that Holy Ghost apostolic preacher in here, he didn't have no business in here with all these thieves and murders and riffraff we've got in here. And when he saw the angel of the Lord standing there at the gate with him, he just swung wide.
That's good. That's good.
And he come to himself. He's standing out there in the street, pinching himself. He's all right. He's really out. Got his shoes on, got his coat on. Feels a little stiff from being all chained up. But he realizes it must be real. Then he finally come to himself. He looked around and got his bearings to figure out where he was. What he was doing, he's out in the middle of the street. The lamps are all lit, it's dark. And he got to thinking, I know whose house they always go to when they have a prayer meeting. They're down there at John Mark's mama's house having prayer. So off he goes. He knows the address. He knows the street. He knows where he's going. Hallelujah!
That's good.
Now, I said all that to say this. He gets down there. And here is the apostolic folks are having a red hot one. God, deliver Brother Peter.
Yeah.
Thank God, our pastor, our shepherd, our leader, into prison, Lord. And we know that they killed Brother James, and they don't have any good plans for Brother Peter. So, Lord, we're sheep without a shepherd. We've got some good assistant pastors, but we like Peter the best. Deliver him, Lord, deliver him. And about that time, somebody knocking at the door. Well, everybody's just so carried away in the spirit that they send one of the young ladies. They say, Rhoda, go answer the door. So she goes back there, and for the joy when she recognized his voice, she did not even open the door. But she ran back in there to where all the folks were praying. And she got over there next to one of the brothers that was really red hot and fired up. This is no reflection. And she said, Brother, I want to tell you, Brother Peter's at the door. Brother Peter's at the door. Brother Peter's at the door. And she said, and you know what he said to her? Thou art mad.
You lost your mind. He's in jail.
He's in jail. Oh, Lord, deliver him, deliver him.
That's the truth.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Read it. Anybody here from Missouri, read it.
Amen.
Oh, deliver him.
Yeah.
There the old fella is. He's having a harder time getting in the house with his friends than he did to get in jail.
Or to get out.
Or to get out, too. Oh, and she goes over and says, but she constantly affirmed, I believe that's the proper way that it's put. Yes, verse 15. But she constantly affirmed that it was so.
It is.
And she said, maybe she went over and got another brother. No reflection on your brother. No, he says it's his angel. It couldn't be him. He's in jail. Oh, delivering God. Maybe by this time they'd loosened up their tie.
Yeah.
Took their vest off.
Yeah.
They're really getting down to business. Because you see, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief.
Right.
Lord, I'll go up and be prayed for. And I'll believe you. Lord, I'll pray for this headache. And I'll be saying, Jesus, help my headache. And all the time I'm reaching over there for the Tylenol. The Excedrin. The Buffering.
Now I got you.
Bayer.
Brother Bayer.
Good old Brother Bayer. Well, we've still got him. We've not got him in yet, have we? He's still out there knocking.
Richard!
And finally, this must have been the way it was. I don't have any proof other than the fact that he did get in sooner or later, but evidently, she must have found somebody that had prayed the prayer of faith, because when she got to them, they said, I know that's got to be him, because I've been praying. I've touched the throne of God. I've prayed a red hot prayer. I know that God has delivered Brother Peter. And they got in and shared all that God had done. And I can shout and I can laugh and I can make a big joke out of it and almost make it fun. But I'll tell you something. If I'm not careful, I'm the same way. I can pray and my mind be 1,000 miles away from here. I can ask God for something and never believe that He'll ever do it. I can say that we believe God for all things and all things are possible to him that believeth, but then carry about in my body pain and sickness, carry about in my body things that doesn't belong there and things that I don't have to put up with and God never intended for me to have and carry problems and weights and burdens and trials and trouble that it was never God's will for me to carry. Because of simply one thing in my vocabulary is a word that doesn't belong there. Unbelief.
Amen. That's right.
Unbelief.
Oh, God.
But did you know something? God wants to do everything for us. Anything that you need tonight, He can do it for you. I'm of the firm opinion that I'm living far beneath my privileges in the Lord. Now, I'm not speaking about you. I told you I was preaching to myself. But I feel like God would like to do a whole lot more for me. And God would like to bless me more. And God would like to use me more. And God would like to work through me more.
Hallelujah.
But you see, you've got to believe.
Hallelujah.
You've got to believe it.
Amen.
I feel like God can and will and is working for this church to just push out the walls and move uptown.
Bless God.
But you see, you've got to believe.
Amen.
You've got to believe. I said you've got to believe. You young people, God can do anything for you. Anything that you need. In talking tonight and sharing with you what the Lord has put on our heart, I don't want you to think there's a category on the things that God would do for you, because God doesn't have any category. There's not the great big things and the medium-sized things and the large and the extra-large and the small and the extra-small. It's all the same with Him.
All the same.
If you've got a need, God wants to meet that need.
Hallelujah.
You just take it to the Lord and believe it.
Amen.
Believe that it's done. Believe that He's able. Believe that He will and He can. He'll do it. It doesn't make any difference what it is. I wonder, what is it that you need from the Lord tonight?
Oh, God, bring me.
Is it salvation for your soul? Is it healing for your body?
Is it for the Lord to speak peace to your troubled mind? Do you need for the Lord to calm your troubled nerves? Do you need for the Lord to help you financially? Are you lonely and need a companion? Are you lonely and need a friend? Are you sick and need a healer? Are you in prison and need a deliverer? A savior? And then, friend, I'm here tonight to tell you, if thou canst believe, all things are possible.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I said, all things are possible. I said, all things are possible. To him that believeth, shall we stand together. I'm going to turn the service back over to your pastor. I appreciate you sitting so attentively. And I've enjoyed myself. I don't know about you, but this whole service from the start. But friend, we've come down to the most important part now. Because I feel the holy hush of God's presence upon this place. There are those individuals, perhaps, that prior to this time harbored doubt in your heart about maybe this apostolic faith, or maybe you harbored doubt in your mind that God wanted to heal you, or God wanted to save you, or God wanted to deliver you. Get that out of your heart tonight, out of your vocabulary tonight, and believe Him, for all things are possible. To him that believeth. God bless you. I thank you for listening. When you pray, pray for the Cagle family. We need your prayers as we endeavor to do the will of God. And I turn the service over to your pastor at this time.
Only believe.
Sing this song if there's someone who'd like to come and pray about your particular situation, your particular need. There are needs and there are times in our lives when we do need to pray with faith, believing that God is able to deliver us. Possibly you know of someone that you're burdened for. Maybe you've been praying. Maybe you should pray tonight. Like whoever it was that prayed the prayer of faith, that was able to believe that that really was Peter standing at the door. Maybe you could pray tonight saying, God, I really believe. From your heart, expect to see that prayer answered. Or we sing this again, if you have a situation and you need to pray and believe with all your heart and see it happen, come and pray with us tonight. Only believe.
Possible.